All right, man. Let's go ahead and talk about the season with a little bit of perspective. Dave, that was a pretty special fucking ride, wasn't it?
Man, it was. It's hard, man. You know what I'm saying? Because every part of me wanted to see that last win there. But the reality is that everything the team has done and everything the team put out there for us on a consistent basis is everything I need. You know, like going back and watching the films, going back and watching these players play, and it doesn't matter if it was Poku early in the season or these guys putting everything together at the end of the season. What we saw as a unit and as a team and how they grew is the most important thing. And then as they came together at the very end, man, and they came and talked about Coach D and all the influence that he's had on their lives, it's powerful, especially after Coach D just had his second daughter or his second child, which is amazing. Congratulations, Coach D.
Yeah, for real.
That is just unbelievable, man.
Yeah, so after the game, he had to drive down to Fort Worth, and his wife had the baby pretty fast after arrived, it seems like. So
she's
an assistant coach for the OU gymnastics team, and they just had a hell of a run. They won it again. That's all I know. Something like that. I read headlines. I don't watch the sport. So big day for him, and I'm glad he was able to make it. And like Cappy says, he just said it's an overachievement. And you can't ask for anything more than that. And in that, we need to just like take some time and like see how far we've come. I've seen some clips coming out from press day, just like Shay talking, a few players. I haven't seen the whole videos yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that when it comes out. But like everybody understands what we accomplished, but they also know where we want to go in the next year. And so that combination leaves us all like really hungry, a little bit left on the table, but we know next year what we are in for.
Yeah, and it's that fight, you know. It's that we know that players are going to go into the season and get injured. We know that there's going to be teams that aren't supposed to be as good as they are that will be good at. We know that there's going to be teams that are going to suck that should be good. You know, this is just how the NBA goes. So for me, I'm looking at this and I'm circling next year as really the moment that we need to do something special. When I say do something special, I mean put together a season where we get 55 plus wins. And to me, like, this is exactly what this team needs. And you know, everybody's like, whoa, that's a big jump right there. Well, we got 39 wins this year, or I got 40 wins this year. It's really not that big of a jump, 15 jumps, 15 more wins than we had this season, right? That's not much because we had 17 this year. Than we did a lot more than we did last year. So to me, that's the indication line that there's possibility for this team to do something great. And 55, I think, is a great, you know, place to start, especially if we stay healthy and we get out there and get better. I know this team's going to get better. I know they have the desire to get better. So, yeah.
So 55 wins is a lot. I mean, that's a really good year for most teams. Like, there's very few teams that would be like, oh, we were disappointed with a 55-win season. In fact, I don't even know that anybody got to 60 wins this year. So I need to look again before I talk about that. But my point is, like, 60 wins is a hell of a year for any season, for any team. And so, I mean, I would look at, once again, like, coming into this year, I thought maybe we could hit 50. I'd say 50 would be a great range with some upward mobility if things go well, depending on how healthy we can, you know, stay, keep Chet. Like, we had overall, like, players did get hurt this year, but it was a pretty good season for health for Shay, for Giddy, for Dort, and for J-Dub. There were interruptions, but that's something that hopefully we can maintain, that health. I think there's a lot that goes into our training staff and what they do to prepare the athletes, but that's kind of where I want to start when we're talking about next year, is like the training staff, preparing the athletes. It just felt like there was a sense that we were running out of steam at the end of the season. So, like, the preparation for the playoffs for next year really starts in the summer this year.
Yeah, and I want to be clear with this because, you know, I'm looking at the standings here, recognizing that Denver had 53 wins, you know, and 55 wins would have put us in the first place this season. I understand that, guys, right? But the West is changing, okay? There's no longer going to be a team that can get 53 wins and lead the West. Like, there's just not. You know, you look at the East, if they were in the East, they would have been in a dogfight for third place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, I'm looking at this, actually, they would have probably slipped down to fourth place before the, you know, end of the season. So I look at this and I'm looking at Denver and I'm saying, yeah, they're good, but not so good that a team like, I don't know, Phoenix next year gets 62 wins, or, you know, Sacramento gets, you know, 55 wins, and, you know, these teams in Memphis gets, you know, 55 wins. So like 55 wins will probably put us top four in the West. And again, that's just, it's a big moment there for this team, because as this team is switching over from oldest to youngest, you know, like the teams that are winning are typically the oldest right now. And now all this switch is going to happen in the NBA. It's going to be like one of those moments where we saw in 2003 and LeBron comes in on the table and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh shit, we weren't expecting him to be that good that quickly. It's going to be the same type of thing with this team in 2023, 2024, where everybody's like, oh shit, yeah. I get you now. I understand where this team's going. I understand where this, what's happening here. And yes, there is a very small group of NBA experts out there that understand. Very small. I mean, even in our own media, they don't quite understand how to put in words what's happening.
Right.
And I think that's what's the best part about this is that, you know, JC, we are going to continue our content because through the summer, because what we're trying to tell everybody and is how to look at this team, how to understand what's happening. And it's important when you look at Sam Presti and you look at Coach D and you look at the coaching staff, like how they are engaged to each of these guys. How are they engaged to the improvement of each of these players? You know, like Coach D needs to be there, but if he's not there, he has all these assistant coaches that are designed to step up and do what they need to do.
Yeah, it's a team effort. But what a preparation we saw for the Pelicans game. You know, Coach Daigneault, the whole coaching staff, Shea, all the players, you know, turn around and play the Timberwolves and really... I thought we played a pretty good game. We let them get loose, and they played really. They played like a team, like the Timberwolves hungry. Did. Yeah, and they just got downhill, and they started shooting shots that they, like, dagger type shots. Yeah, and they just kept hitting them, like three pointers in transition.
It's hard,
and
man.
Those types of shots, like when a team is feeling it and they're hitting those shots, like it's just tough to stop no matter who they are. But I was just so impressed with the maturity. Like, I know everybody who's fresh to watching this team will be like, oh, they're so young. Shea's only 24. Yada, 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 yada. Giddy's 20. Da, 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 da. All these rookies. But when you watch them for the whole season and you saw where they started and when they got to, you stop thinking of them as young. You stop thinking of them as inexperienced. You start thinking about them as, like, just players who are on a journey. And we're just at the beginning of the journey. But at the same time, it's not like we're looking at players and saying like, oh, if you can just imagine, like they're already contributing right now. And then you mix in the fact that they're going to get older, stronger, better. I was thinking about this last night. I think that we legitimately are going to be adding three picks to this next year. Now, we had Jang play already this year, so he's not going to be a rookie next year, but he's ready to play. Okay. I was hesitant to be like, oh, yeah, we should let Saric go. But I think Jang will be a bigger contributor than Saric next year. So then you add Chet, and then you add our new draft pick, which will be a player drafted in their range, hopefully between Jang and J-Dub in that idea. So three more draft picks in a year after we added three picks, in a year after we added four picks. So, I mean, even though we get one new draft pick, the youth movement doesn't stop even for a second.
It's not going to stop, you know? And you look at the statistics, I'm listening to Van Gundy talk, and he's talking about, like, there's two ways of having a team or comparing teams in the NBA. You got your statistics of a top 10 statistics, and you got your records, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, in a way, when you're putting what you think a top 10 team is, you got to do a combination in that. And I don't know what his point was of talking which team he was talking about, but I wanted to, you know, just get back to the stats and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Yes, we got 40 wins this year, which is just under 500, you know. And the other thing is that we were almost top 10 in every statistics this year as far as offense and defense.
Yeah, I heard that throughout the season that we were trending that way.
We dipped down in some of them.
I think we fell out of it on a little bit at the end. Let's just,
it's still really impressive, man. And anybody that's looking at the statistics and saying this team is, you know, top 10 here, number one here, number one here, like they're starting to put together what this team can do. And I totally get it. People are going to take a step back and say, if the Thunder did this, if the Thunder played this type of offense, if they played this type of defense, if they played this type of fast break game, they could add this to it, right? But I'm looking at what Coach D is doing and trying to teach the offense to everybody. Because here's the reality. We got 40 wins off of developmental year. And anybody that doesn't want to call this a developmental year, look at how many minutes rookies got in second-year players. And then you can't deny it. It is a developmental year. And we got 40 wins. Why? Because the offense is easily taught to these players because they buy in. The defense is easily taught to these players because they buy in. And it's easy for these guys to be able to teach the other guys how to play this defense and offense. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, is when everybody buys in, everybody's attacking the hole. You know, we saw the lack of aggression with J-Dub early in the season. And then what happened? He got more aggressive as the season went on. To the end of the season, everybody's like, holy shit. But guess what's going to happen next season? He's not going to stop that. He's going to get more aggressive and more aggressive. It's easy, man. It's easy seeing this team as a top 10 team starting off next year on everybody's ranking. They'll be someplace in the top 10, all right? And they will finish the season in top 5 because that is how good this team is. And people will be like, well, they're still a really, really young team. You know, you take Sarge out of there and you put another 19-year-old rookie in there, and then we're still second, maybe even the youngest team in NBA history at that point. You know, so those are the things I'm looking at. And those are the things I keep going back to is that, like, I cannot imagine this team taking a step backwards. I can't. If we get injuries, then, yeah, we're going to take it slow. But that's that, man. That's not a complicated situation there. That's a real deal. This team has a legit spot and legit chance to do something special in the aspect of when you're looking at a team jumping up plus wins, this many wins, 15 is a lot, especially when you already had 40.
And that's why it's going to be hard for us to sign Cappy to a max deal. And I appreciate you offering your services, Cappy, but in the end, we're running out of max deals to give up. So we got to make sure we save that money for the next time one of these guys are going. But I listened to Bobby Marks and him talking about the what the Thunder have to do. You know, the final team to be eliminated for them to break down. And it was pretty special to be that final team because of where we were projected to be at. But patience, that was the key word. And we all understand that and we all agree with that. No doubt about that.
Oh, no doubt.
But the thing that he kept saying was they did this the right way. They drafted the right way. They leaned into internal development the right way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they trusted their players the right way. So, like, you go through it and you're like, okay, like, the best of the best in the NBA media are sitting there saying everything about this rebuild was done right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We've never seen a rebuild done like this before. This is the new right way to do things. And this is the
standard.
Right. This is the new standard. It's a Sam Presti standard. It's you rebuild and you try to build an organization, right, that is built on the right principles. You restock, similar to the first teardown with the Sonics, where they traded Rashard Lewis and Ray Allen. They gather the picks. They did most of their restocking and retooling from trading out veterans who had value to other teams, right? Then that's where you get the most of your picks. You do have a couple of years where you're not great, and you do need to add talent to that pool, but you're not like the Sam Hinkie process where the goal is to be as bad as you can to increase your odds, to stay as bad as you can and increase your odds. Like a different level of doing right. This, and that's why the best of the best are saying, this is the right way. Don't stop now. Don't get impatient. Don't sell out. Keep
Don't
doing
trade
it the
your
right
picks.
Way. Boom. Right? And they add. And that's the vibe that as fans we need to like embrace.
Yeah, and every draft, I feel like there's always a player that slips out of the top 10 and ends up having a season where he ends up in top 5, top 7 redraft, you know? So for me, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, if that guy has the right personality, if that guy has the right demeanor and way of holding himself, there's no way he's ever slipping past Sam Presti. You know, those are Giannis's, those are the Kawhi's, those are the, you know, blank. And we're going to have a, I don't know, lottery pick pretty much every year for the next 5 years the way we own picks, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying is, like, this team is going to be able to rebuild and retool really quickly. And you're going to get players like J-Dub that are going to steal playing time from other guys. And all of a sudden there's going to be like, yes, we need blank player on this team, but now this player has outplayed him and has way less money, but this player has a ton of value still. You know, like, great. Well, let's find him a team that he wants to go to. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to play your rest of your season? Where do you want to play the rest of your career? And I think that's what's important about this team is that there's always an opportunity for players to have the caliber of understanding of they're doing this for the team, they're doing this for the city, and when it's all said and done, they have a GM that's going to take care of them and what they would call post-retirement or pre-retirement.
Yeah. Carson, you're right, man. When you're talking about that Giddy and Chet pick and roll, like we saw a little bit in the summer league, and that's a starting point for so many things. And we're talking about it, like the ability to add really three lottery picks this coming year. If you count the fact that Jang has proven that he is that level and it's taken him some time, and we're really going to be counting on him not to just be like getting minutes for Jang's sake, for like development's sake, but actually because I feel like what we've seen from him is the ability to actually contribute. And when you add this much talent to a single team that was already so good, right?
Yeah.
Like we're talking about another player in the draft, 11-12 range. I can't wait to start breaking down that and like what specifically we think we can get from an athlete, a wing, or otherwise. It doesn't really matter. Like, we're going to figure out, once we get that player, what they bring to the table, how they can help us, and what the vision for the team in the future is. Because a lot of times that's our best indicator about what Presti wants from the team in the future, is you can kind of, like, figure out how the players fit in from the draft.
That's it, man. And I cannot say enough about this draft, too, is that there's so many scrappy defenders in this draft, which... long, lanky, scrappy defenders, which is Sam Presti's, you know, special right there. So right. I'm really pumped about that. I'm really pumped about breaking it down and getting into that. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into that, especially when we know exactly where our place stands, which is coming up, I think, in a couple weeks. I think it's June where they
the lottery. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ping pong balls, all the fun.
All the balls you could ever imagine in one little area. But... I don't know. I think about this team all the time. I think about what they can do. I think about the impact that they have. And there's a lot of guys that we have that I don't think are even close to peaking on what they can do. I don't think we even understand what the caliber of player they will be. I think that one of the players is Jay Will. I think one of the players is Isaiah Joe. These guys are really special. And the way that Jay Will literally stole playing time from JRE and Poku is insane. I know Poku kept on getting injured, but JRE was so far ahead of Jay Will in the beginning of the season.
It was crazy.
It was so far ahead. And then all of a sudden, JRE, you know, sprains his ankle and wasn't the same JRE. But it became so evident that Jay Will was not just a top 15 pick, but he is a difference maker in so many games. And I see what he did for Arkansas, and I saw how he's able to take those charges in big games, and I watched his game really unfold in front of my eyes, and I was blown away when Sam Presti was able to get him. And the fact is that he hasn't disappointed. In the G League, he was spectacular. If you take the charges in the G League and NBA and combine them, guys, it's mind-boggling, because to me, I think he's going to be one of those guys that I think he can average a charge and a half a game an entire season, which means that he could have triple digits in charges. Listen, guys, it's mind-boggling to think that he could be getting triple digits in charges, and Chet could be getting 150 blocks, 200 blocks in a season. Like, what other teams do we have? And when you're looking at it saying, yes, blocks are amazing, they get the crowd going, what is more impactful on the defensive end than a charge? There's not. Why? Because you get in the player's head, you get somebody in foul trouble, and every single time they come down the lane and see you, they go an opposite way. It's everything you want packaged into one. Yes, blocking the shot has the same effect, but how many times do you see a blocked shot and somebody hit a three because of it? You know, and that's what's crazy is that it's not a guaranteed possession with a blocked shot, but it's a guaranteed fucking possession when J. Will steps up and gets a charge. So if he's getting triple digits in charges, you know, and Chet's cleaning up anything that gets past J. Will because he has to sidestep or dead leg it, as I call it, and they don't get off the ground very far, and they run into Chet. Chet's going to be like, oh, thank you for the block. Boom. Going the other way. Yeah. Because he doesn't have to jump very high, and he doesn't have to slam it when they dead leg it to get around J. Will, man. Like, this defense is going to be designed to funnel these guys right into the lane, right? Either run into J. Will or dead leg it, and Chet just blocked the shit out of him. Welcome to the league, motherfuckers.
Welcome to the league, motherfuckers. I love it, man. We've seen Jay Will have that impact on people where they see him in the lane and they go around him. You know, when you take that, like you said, there's a good chance you're not going to get explosiveness off of that jump. So there's that weak side help defense coming over and starting a fast break for us. So I dig it. What's up, Wayne? Glad you joined us.
Brian, what's up, man?
Brian says he's in love with the Cats.
Man, I got to say, it's you guys that introduced me to what the AFL is and how it can be impactful in the NBA. So I don't know, man. To me, that Cats jersey has a lot to what I believe the Oklahoma City Thunder can be and what the goal is to be. And if you look at how the Cats built their team and they were able to draft properly and they were able to accumulate incredible amount of talent, that's what the Oklahoma City Thunder did. So, Brian, I hell yeah, like Cats all the way in the aspect of the organization was put together properly and a dynasty was built. So I want to see the Oklahoma City Thunder do the same.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about, man. We took the whole day off yesterday just like chilling, man. And
we were so tired.
We were.
Yeah, I'm still tired.
I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and I'm packing up my house, just a three-day vacation, and then we'll be moving too. So everything is on, and we're going to keep things pumping. We're going to keep things coming out. We're going to start breaking down, basically just the draft, the upcoming season, things as they happen. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the other games that are going on, but not so much. We keep an eye on that, but like I didn't watch the Warriors Kings last night.
I'm not watching any hoops, bro. I can't. I want my brain to decompress right now from the season and not let it be perversed by any of the other NBA.
Like, and this is probably not something I should admit, but like it's been like that for me for years. Like the Thunder season's over, and I really stopped watching games until the finals.
Yeah, I'll pick it up in the finals or maybe the Western Conference Finals, but. Right now, the first round of the playoffs, to me, it's too much of a burner.
Right.
You know, like, it stings too bad in the aspect of I have to think about, man, we could have beat this team, or we could have played with this team. We could have, you know, like, right now, I want to appreciate what the Oklahoma City Thunder did instead of trying to change that, you know? And what they've done is beyond spectacular, bro. Like, I want to say this and with all due respect to the other teams in the league, but there was not a better team or more exciting team to watch in the NBA than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, there just wasn't. Like, you can say, oh, this team was really good. Oh, this team was really good. But if you go and listen to everyone's announcers in the other teams, every single time we played against them, they got hyped up, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they would call us like the team of the future, or this team has built properly, and it was exciting. You know, I got to the point where I kept on listening to Michael Cage and Chris Fisher, which is the first season I've done that, because I knew everything that everybody else was going to say about this team. And mm-hmm. I was just like, oh yeah, I don't want to hear any more gushing love about this team. Like, spread the love out, you know, like And it was like they fell in, all the announcers fell in love with this underdog and the young team, and look at what they can do, and they can put up 135 points on us, and they can put 150 points on us, and they can hold us to under 100 points, and this is insane. That's what I got excited about. That's what the generated this true belief that this team is something special, because if everybody else is seeing it and everybody else is saying it, then we just got to go with it, because this is our fucking team. If this was the fucking Los Angeles Lakers, everyone's like, oh, they're going to be so great, they're going to be amazing, I'm going to be like, fuck off. I don't give a shit about them. You know, I'm going to talk as much shit as I possibly can about the Lakers. But this team represents our state, Oklahoma City, baby. Our city. And guess what? We're going to support them. We're going to be there as they're going through their ups and downs. And that's what this is all about. That's why we're not stopping this podcast. We're not going to, you know, take time off. We took a day off, you know, but we're just not, guys. Like, this is us and you guys is what means something to us. That's why we're going live. You know, like, if it live wasn't something that was fun for us, then we wouldn't do. But we get to, by the end, run into 100 people and, you know, 50 comments of people talking to us. And it's nice. And I love it to when you guys throw up there, like, listen, you know, listening from down under, or, you know, we listen to from the Philippines and all over the world. And it's amazing to know where you guys are listening from, because, again, everybody gets introduced to us in a different way. And through the YouTube channels, and they're like, oh yeah, I'll listen to them, see what they have to say. And it's just nice. It's nice to know.
Yeah, I mean, the season's over. Of course, we're a little bit depressed, but in the end, we knew that it had to come to an end at some point. And we're already locked in on next year. Thinking about the potential. It's just going to be a lot of fun from here on out. And we have to recognize that there's going to be a lot of posers, a lot of people who come in, a lot of national media who want to pretend like local media, a lot of local media who want to pretend like national media. They're all going to want to say something that sounds like the smartest. So watch out for the people who are going to infiltrate the media. Tell them to fuck off. Because in the end, if you weren't here when this team was struggling, like, we don't want you to show up and this team is good. We don't need bandwagon shit. We don't need bandwagon media. Fuck that.
Exactly, man. Man, the team is built for longevity and wins. You know, you think about the draft picks. You think about what we have in the stockpile as far as guys that are under 24 years old. You know, and this team is built for longevity. This team is built for a long time in the future. And I think that's why I get so excited about it, is that, you know, 40 wins is just the tip. And that's, again, where it comes back down to, is where this team can be in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I mean, we'll go down the list, because Sam Presti's not done accumulating draft picks. He's just not. I mean, this is how he's building. He's going to continue doing it until the point where draft picks are so valuable, nobody's going to trade them. But by then, he's going to have, you know, accumulated probably like 25, 35 draft picks. I mean, they're already becoming more valuable right now because of the way the NBA is shifting. But I cannot imagine how valuable they will be, you know, in the next 2-3 years. And by then, I hope Sam has so many that it doesn't matter. He can build a team for the next 20 years because of it.
Hell yeah. Wayne, Corey, you guys get it. This draft is going to be exciting. I'm going to be out about near the beach, things like that, over the next couple of days. We'll put up a few episodes once I get back. We're going to really dial in on the draft. We're going to figure out, you know, most likely scenarios. We'll get after some of the big names, but let's face it, in this range that we're looking, there isn't a singular big name that we're looking at. We need to look at a range of player and see what happens, and then in the end it will be somebody that we didn't cover. But still, it's a process, and it's helpful for us in the scouting as this season.
I will say this guy's is, I'll just give you guys a little little taste, I guess you could say, right? Look at Arkansas's players this year. Look at how they played. Look at how we love Jay Will and Isaiah Joe. There's something in the water in Arkansas, and I think that anybody that's looking at this draft and looking in the future of the players are going to recognize that Arkansas players are in a very valuable asset. So I definitely would be looking at that for sure.
Carson, I think everybody, I think J-Dub, I think Giddy, I think those two guys look at it and they say, what was my best game or best five games of the season, and how do we make that my average? How do we begin this process of playing with this aggression that was indicative of maybe only their very, very best games? So I love it. Lamar.
Yeah, man. You're right, Lamar. A lot of people switched when Westbrook left. A lot of people said that the team was not going to make the playoffs with Chris Paul. But guess what? That's why, in the long run, people are back. Like you said, people came back because they believe that the system, and they believe that this team is going to be something special, because
they don't want to miss it.
They don't want to miss it. They don't want to be like, oh, yeah, I used to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, then became a fan of this team. And now it's like, no. There's one organization that's going to represent these people. And I want to say, guys, like, the amount of people around the world that are going to be watching the Oklahoma City Thunder this coming season is going to be astonishing. And it's going to make it so that the Oklahoma City Thunder is not going to be considered a small market. Just not.
Yeah. Oklahoma City Thunder is cool again. They're cool again, guys. So,
Carson, you're on the right path, man. You're on the right path, my man.
We appreciate you guys. I'm going to head out. Got some things to do.
Have fun, man.
I'll be back. Let's talk tomorrow.
Tomorrow, next day. Whatever works. We're in no hurry.
All right. We'll see you guys around. Thunder up, everybody.